following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we are. It is a wonderful day today. It's actually not too bad where I'm sitting, out in the kind of little bit of slightly outside the Beltway, and it's blue skies, and I'm going to enjoy the day. I'm going to get outside and have some fun, and hopefully you will as well. You know, it's called walking. But anyway, enjoy your day, and hopefully the program that we have today is one that's going to be not only insightful, but applicable for so many different situations. And we're going to be talking about something that is, as far as I'm concerned, cutting edge in the diagnostic arena, because it gives us a tool and an application that is so supportive of traditional methods. And what do I mean by that? Well, ladies, let's take it from this point of view. You know, your physicians in the allopathic community are encouraging you that every couple of years or so, it used to be every year, but now they've stretched it out to, depends on your family history, from every other year to maybe 5 years before you have one, of mammography, you know, taking a look at the breast tissue and determining whether there's a mass, or the old days, they just want you to see, make sure you don't have any cancer. Well, there's another piece to that puzzle, one that often, as far as I'm concerned, gives you a better insight, and that's called thermographic imaging. Thermography is something that can enhance all types of diagnostic technology, and we're going to talk about that today, particularly since coming up in October, a couple of weeks from now, it's Breast Awareness Month, or Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And guys, one thing I want you to understand as well, this is not just a woman's program today. This is for you as well. And the reason for it is that, depending on the literature that you read, up to 5% plus of all breast cancers are male today, where years ago it was unheard of. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But, you know, the important piece is we're going to talk about thermography and its branches in immunological detection and seeing other pieces of the body. We use it for temperature detection at our clinics. But I have an expert, and this person who's been in the area of thermographic diagnostics, if you will, for over 12 years, somebody who is part of the Results Center, but she's the principal for Thermography Centers of Fairfax, none other than, many of you have heard her before, Dareth Painter. Hi, Dareth. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Tom. How are you?
Excellent. Good day. Thank you for saying yes and coming on and, always, you know, talking about this. I know that, you know, you get in front of people and one-on-one, you're brilliant. And for whatever reason, you don't like radio, but you're extraordinary at it. And so we're going to talk about thermographic imaging and its diagnostic values, particularly with detection of lesions. You know, I don't know if you're aware, you know, on our podcast, Ageless Health, you know, with Dr. Tom Rozelle, I recently had somebody who you know very well, Dr. Peter Liando.
Absolutely.
And it was kind of a fun program because he was in Greece and I was here in the States, and it was like, it was, you know, back to back, no distortion. So
yeah,
I wanted to let people
know. He's phenomenally brilliant.
He is an amazing, amazing man. So we want to encourage people. Listen, if you want to see that interview, just go to Ageless Health with Dr. Tom Rozelle. You'll find it. It's on YouTube. It's on RozelleRadio.com. It's an important interview, but nevertheless, Dareth, you've been in the thermography business diagnostically now for, as I said, I think almost 12 years.
Actually, it's coming up on 14 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Time travels quickly. So let's start with something real simple.
Yep.
What is thermography diagnostically? What does it do? What is the, why is it incorporated in the things that, that any physician can do with their, you know, their platform. So, you know, what is thermography?
So thermography basically is digital infrared technology. What it is, it's looking at the body through heat signals that are then transferred into taking the radiant heat and transferring them into imagery so that we can see what the body is doing in that moment in time. So that allows us to take a snapshot, very much like, you know, when you have a child who's not feeling well, what's the first thing we do is we take their temperature. So that is an indicator to us that they may be having a medical issue if their fever is at a certain point. Digital imagery is essentially doing the same thing, except for it's looking at it in a visual form.
So we're looking at heat signals, basically what I'm taking from. So the body has, you know, inflammatory levels, which are hot. It has things that are chronic, and those things become cold, if you will. It's like when I try to explain what arthritis is to a patient. If you hear itis at the end of any terminology, that's an inflammatory reaction, and I would imagine detectable on thermographic imaging. If you have arthrosis, that means that it's just a destroyed joint, and it could be cold and not irritated. Am I on the right pathway here?
You are on the right path. The only thing I would add to that is there are certain parts of the body that are going to be warmer than others. There's also going to be some indications of patterning within the body based on, you know, just function. So it's not just hot is bad, hot is inflammation, cold is not. It's a matter of looking at the whole body and the systems and what they're supposed to be doing. So that's why we have MDs in our office who we send our imagery to, very much like radiologists who know the body's physiology and what it's supposed to be doing, and looking at it and making, opinions as to what the imagery is indicating at that moment in time.
So mammography has side effects. And we know that a woman who has had 6 mammographic examinations in a row, if you will, increases her risk of breast cancer, actually, and the thing that they're trying to diagnose simply because of the radiation. It's basically a very intense, you're taking soft tissue, breast tissue, you're squeezing it together with about 40, 45 pounds, and then you're imaging that thing. So you're irritating the tissue, you're radiating it, and so we know that there's a problem with that, and that's just not Dr. Tom telling you that. You can look it up and look at the studies and go on any of the major sites, and you're going to see that, oh my gosh. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that they set aside the idea of doing mammography on an annual basis and starting later, you know, when a woman is closer to her menopausal states.
Well, now, actually, if most women know this, that when you're recommended to do a mammogram, it's usually at the age of 40. And many of us know that you're supposed to get them every year because our doctor sits there and says, you've got to get your mammogram. You've got to get your mammogram. So women were historically getting their mammograms every year, regardless of whether they wanted them or not, because they were getting pressure by their doctors, albeit the doctor's looking at their best interest. I get it. But they were finding that women who were doing that every single year, and sometimes multiple times during the year because they would get an inconclusive read, were there was a higher rate of breast cancer of those women, a lot of them due to the fact that they had the BRCA2 gene, and the radiation was actually turning on that gene. So we went for a period of time where then the age range was now let's move it up to 50. And then there was some controversy with that. And then they moved it kind of back and forth to around that 40 to 45 year mark, especially if you have a history of breast cancer in your family. So what I tell women oftentimes in thermography is that you have to look at the marketing that was done with, breast cancer. If I said pink ribbons, what do you think of? If I say Susan G. Komen, what do you think of? Everybody thinks of breast cancer awareness, which is great. And women were going in for their mammograms on a routine basis at the, you know, recommendation of their physician. You would think that the breast cancer rates would actually go down, would plummet. But in actuality, it did not. It stayed at the same level, if not started to rise.
Yep, that's the literature.
More and more women were coming up with these, you know, with this cancer and different types, obviously, of breast cancer. But, you know, I tell women, unless there is a family history, you really have to look at your exposure to radiation. I have patients who do it, do mammograms and thermography alternating years. So there's a lot of things that you can do, and also, you know, try to do it in a safe fashion so you're not avoiding breast health altogether, which unfortunately a lot of women have done as a result.
My guest today, Dareth Painter, who is the principal of Thermography Centers of Fairfax and a woman who has tremendous bandwidth when it comes to thermographic imaging. She's been at this game 14 years. I thought it was 12, but it's been a long time because time passes. This is an important piece of the puzzle. Thermography is definitely state of the art, and it picks up things well in advance before X-ray or mammography can even hope to see it. So, for example, Dareth, and correct me if I'm wrong, thermographic imaging, we're talking about showing a heat signal. A heat signal can be evoked by blood supply, and most breast cancers or most cancers that can be detected by diagnostic thermography will begin to build a blood supply well in advance, and the literature is somewhere between, you know, 5 to 8 years in many cases before the actual tumor, the actual mass begins to show up. So if you can detect it 5 to 8 years, you see the blood supply, you know something is happening. Now you can take steps in our world, in my world, in a natural way to be able to handle something before it grabs a hold of the body, becomes invasive, becomes metastatic. Let's talk about, you know, how this works relative to the coupling, if you will, with mammography. You said that women do it. Is it necessary, or can they just rely on thermographic imaging? Can a man, as we said early in the beginning of the program, who has guys today have the potential for breast cancer because breast tissue and prostate tissue are one and the same. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a woman? Can I just, and she asked you, can I just do this? Do I have to have a mammography?
So, me personally, I would tell a woman that at some point, I think mammogram is necessary just to establish a baseline. There are some things that cannot be seen in thermography that can be seen in mammography, and the same is with the opposite. We can't see calcifications. I need to know that a woman, if she has a history of breast cancer in her family with calcifications, has that checked out to make sure, in fact, that they aren't susceptible to that. But as a basis of checking, I think that a great screening tool, yes, is thermography, because we're looking at blood flow and we're looking at function. We're not looking for the mass. We're not looking to see whether the tumor is already there. We're looking for what you described as the angiogenesis, that separate blood flow that develops in the breast tissue that's the actual feeder to grow that tumor. So, yeah, if we can pick up that activity because it is active, it's not dormant, and we can identify it as a potential suspicious activity, a woman has so many more options to deal with, you know, a pending issue with breast cancer. Absolutely. And then with men, I mean, you've got xenoestrogens that they're being exposed to, you know, every day. And you can speak to what the xenoestrogens are. But I have seen more male breast cancer or potential breast cancer in the last few years where doctors are sending men to me because they need to look for that aspect.
We're going to get into that a little bit more. My guest today, Dareth Painter, she is the principal of Thermography Centers of Fairfax. We're talking about a diagnostic image that is state-of-the-art, cutting edge, and it can see things that other pieces of diagnostics can't. We're coming up to a break. I have so much more for you today. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We'll be right back.
News is news when it happens. Hear it here on Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. Indeed, we are on a beautiful Washington Metropolitan Day. It's nice outside. Go for a walk. Have some fun after you listen to the radio program, of course, or take it with you. Plug it in your ears and, you know, listen to what we have to say. We have a really fascinating program today, one that, in my opinion, is something that can't be set aside, that needs to be incorporated in most all types of diagnostic. And we're talking about thermographic imaging. But because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we're talking about its ability to detect the potential of a cancer being in existence. Today we're looking at cancer spreading, and it's one of the most deadly for women under the age of 40 when it shows up. Unfortunately, it's never detected, and mammography itself, which doesn't detect all cancers, it just detects masses that exist. It really can't distinguish what it is. There needs to be another step, and the step is thermographic imaging. So I have an expert with me, someone who's been in the game for 14 years, Dareth Painter. She is the principal of Thermography Centers of Fairfax. And by the way, she's going to be doing a presentation at the Rozelle Center this Wednesday evening, the 22nd at 7 p.m. So if you really want to see what it looks like, you really want to know what the applications are, this is an opportunity. All you need to do is go online at rozellecare.com and register for the class, or simply call 703-698-7117 and register that way. And I promise you, this will be a very informative, and you'll say, wow, I didn't know that. Why haven't I been doing this type of thing? Dareth, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
We're talking about thermography being a source of diagnostics that detects heat signals or changes in heat. It'll see very, very cold. It'll see very, very hot as compared to the tissue. Compared to the tissue, right? So that's what we're looking for. I know in our world, we'll also use it for determining, for example, if somebody comes in with significant headaches and neck pain, we can see the vasculature of the neck and the external portion of the head, and that can tell us whether or not we've got a hot area in one area or another. So it helps us. And also if there was an aneurysmal pattern within the neck, because those vessels are closer to the surface. However, we're talking about breast thermography and other imaging. We're going to talk about how it's an impact on immune function in the second half of the program. But let me ask you a question. How, you know, with mammographic imaging, it doesn't pick up lymphatic heat signals and lymphatic drainage that has been backed up. Does thermography do that? And if so, yes. How does it do it?
Yes, it does. Actually, that's one of the differences between mammography and thermography, is that when we do the imaging, we include the lymph area underneath the armpits area and up in the neck area where the lymph nodes are, to see whether or not there's any involvement in suspicious activity in that angiogenic process. So that's one place that we do, do better than mammography, because unfortunately mammography is looking at anatomical aspects and not looking at the metabolic function of the body. So we're able to see that in the imaging for assessment by the doctor.
We're here at 888-630-9625, and if you'd like to call and ask Dareth a question today, please do. If you want to know whether or not it's right for you, give us a call. But again, this Wednesday evening, the 22nd, she'll be doing an in-house presentation as the head of Thermography Centers of Fairfax, and we'll be able to explain everything in detail. It's an amazing key to diagnostics, and, you know, it's been around for actually years. It was first used in industrial use going way back into the 30s and early 40s, even though that it was looked at before that. And then the adaptation to the medical presentation came after that. But here's something that can look at pieces of diagnostics that other traditional methods cannot do. So, Dareth, you know, over the years, the thermographic images have come a long way, and I want to get into that with you in the second pass of the program and how it's evolved and how it's presented. You're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is a fascinating program, and if you have any questions, call us at 888-630-9625. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, and we have a very special program for you, one that is really cutting edge and one that, you know, we've been aware of for many, many years. But I have somebody who is like over the top smart when it comes to the topic. We're talking about thermographic imaging as it relates to detecting all types of health problems, but particularly we're talking about breast cancer because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We have a couple calls, and we're going to go to the phones and take those. But before we do that, Dareth, before we broke from the first half of the program, I started asking you about the detection of lymphatic involvement. The big worry with a lot of breast cancers is that it goes to the lymphatic system and it metastasizes and can cause problems, but also with any other lymphatic type of presentation. Does thermography have the capacity to pick up accurately involvement in lymph tissue? And if it does, what are the limitations?
Yes, actually, it does have enough specificity that it can look to see if there is lymphatic involvement. So that is one of our standard imaging that we do with all breast scans, is we look at the lymphatics in addition to the front of the two breasts and then all surface areas. So we've had, you know, as far back I can remember my first patient who did have lymph node involvement, and it was very specific in the imagery. Obviously had to get it confirmed by the doctor. So it does allow us to look at that early on. And then obviously the recommendation is to do further clinical correlation either through mammography, MRI, sonogram, to confirm what we're seeing as far as suspicious activity.
Now, Dareth, you know, just to recap a little bit, Thermography Centers of Fairfax is a group that's been around now for a lot of years. We're talking about over 14 years. Yep. And you use a group outside of thermography centers to read your films. You have a group of about 15 medical physicians. That's all they do is read these images.
Sure.
Is that correct?
Right. 15 full-time and about 50 all totaled, all around the world, but they're all, certified MDs that read thermographic imaging. It's a group called Electronic Medical Interpretation. I've been using them since the beginning, and they're really, really top-notch group of doctors. One of them actually that I use quite a bit is the head of radiology in a very acclaimed medical facility.
You know, it's interesting. When I had Dr. Peter Leando on my podcast about 2 weeks ago now, and by the way, that podcast is available. It's Asia's Health with Dr. Tom Rozelle. You guys can look it up. Dr. Peters is an amazing, amazing physician, but he was telling me, and I asked him, I said, how many of these images do your doctors read a day? And you're talking about thousands on a day-to-day basis.
Used to be 2,000, and since COVID hit, they're probably reading about 1,500 a day.
Wow.
Mine included.
So at the end of the day, the information base is huge, and the expertise behind this is not something that is secondary. We're here at 888-630-9625. Dareth, let's go to the phones just for a minute. Jane, you've been very patient. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call and for discussing such an important topic. I am a breast cancer survivor, 2008 triple negative. Had a mammogram a year before. My diagnosis undetected at that time. I found my own lump. And then, of course, after surgery, chemo, radiation, I was told to have just mammogram after mammogram, and eventually learned myself about thermography and had that done every other year in place of mammograms, and really gave me peace of mind. I really enjoyed, if you could use that word, the images that were shared with me and the understanding that came with it and the ability to walk out of that facility not having had my breast smashed. I guess the main question I have is, at the time when I was having these done in California, it was a couple $100 a pop, you know, out of pocket. Do you foresee insurance at any point or Medicare at any point covering thermography?
If I can answer that question, At one point, insurance companies were covering, some insurance were covering it. And then with change of administrations, things kind of rolled back. So it vacillates back and forth. But I can tell you, after being in this business, you know, a dozen or years more, that the number of patients is really what's going to drive insurance companies covering it, because I'm seeing more and more women and men who are demanding other options, other pieces of the puzzle, so that they can be proactive in their own health care. So I foresee it being covered more. I've seen the door open and then kind of close slightly, but I think it will open back up again.
It's really important that we all understand that traditional approaches to healthcare are in the allopathic arena, and the insurance companies, as their board of directors, are mostly seated medical physicians that have relationships with drug companies and high-powered manufacturers. And I'm giving you the political economic piece of that. We're setting the absoluteness of the diagnostics aside, and anything that is not aligned with that, if you will, is not necessarily going to be the things that they're going to look at as being covered. You know, you have laws that are called right to try. That's a whole different button with me that we can get into, but we won't today. But at the end of the day, the more and more people that demand from their insurance carriers, their employers, their representatives to have certain things brought about relative to coverage in their policies and make it mainstream, it will be done at some point. But right now, it's up and down based on what Dara said, administrations and politics and economically driven. It's unfortunate. Thank you for calling. 888-630-9625 is how you find us here. And we want to encourage you to attend this presentation this Wednesday evening, the 22nd. Of the month. Boy, we're coming up to the end of September already. The year's almost over. But at the end of the day, if you really want to learn about thermographic imaging, its importance, if you will, in an overall health diagnostic mode that has tentacles that no other form of diagnosis has, this is an opportunity. All you have to do is go online at rozellcare.com, scroll down, you'll see it, hit the button to register, and make that happen. You can also go to drtomrozell.com, and you'll find it both ways. Call 703-698-7117 and register for the class. We're back in office. We're doing our continuing education programs for all of you every other week, and we are very careful to make sure that you're safe within the practice. We have HEPA filters, and we're going to make sure that you're comfortable within that facility. Dareth, let's take this thing a little more forward. You know, we're talking about the comfortability right now when it comes to all this craziness that's out in our world. I just want to touch this for a second, and we're putting it into our office. We're putting a thermographic unit in that will be a fever screen, or a heat screen. And as I was talking to Dr. Leando about that, because he was the one that put this into utilization in many different areas, from airports to corporations to clinics and so forth. Let's talk about that. It's there. It's something that we're going to be using. What's its impact?
So, I was just going to see whether or not you're going to bring up the fact that we have fever screen equipment. Dr. Leando, who actually is my mentor, he's the one who trained me many, many years ago. He actually developed the fever screen equipment back in the days of, if we all remember, the Chinese bird flu and all of that. And the intent of that was to take massive groups of people and be able to screen them, triage, essentially, to pick out individuals who met a certain threshold of temperature, and then be able to isolate those to do further evaluation. So airports and any port of entry was a good place to have those fever screen equipment there. And they were very successful in making sure that it was the efficacy of picking out people who may be ill, or, you know, making sure that you weren't at the airport for 3 hours trying to be screened through a process that would take you know, hours to just do a handful of people. So we have been generously been afforded the opportunity to use that fever screen technology in our office. Prior to receiving it, as you know, Dr. Rizzo, we were manually screening people for fevers before they came in and gave them a questionnaire before we would let anybody within the office. Now it's going to be facilitated by a fever screen technology, so that way people, you know, have a much easier way to come in and out of the office and still have the viability of screening people for fevers.
Yes, we have another caller. Carol, are you sitting there waiting?
Hello.
Hi, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Yeah, a very good topic. I wanted to ask, how long does the breast tomography take, number one? And number two, what kind of machine is it? Is it, do you lie down like in a MRI, or is it a CAT scan? Or do you sit up? Those two questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carol.
Absolutely, Carol. So, Carol, it's really easy. The equipment is a very small camera unit that I have on a tripod, and I have the individual come in, whether it be a woman for breast screening or a full body, and I have to have the person, I usually have them sit on a rotating stool, and I have them disrobe so that they can cool down to their body's normal homeostasis. Once I've established that they're cooled down, because obviously all the clothes and things that you have on keep the body heat within the body, I'll then start taking images as you're sitting or standing. So unlike CT, you're not on a table. There's no pressure. I don't have to touch you. It's very non-invasive. There's no radiation involved. It's very fast. It probably takes me longer to explain what we're going to do than it actually takes to take the imaging. And then once the imaging is taken and I've done a evaluation of your medical history, I send all of that information, to include the images that I took, to the doctor that we spoke of earlier. And they assess and they write up a report, very much like a radiologist would do. And then they send it back to me electronically, and then I forward it on to the patient. So very, very simple process, very easy, no pain involved, no radiation, no side effects. It's, you know, as Jane said, and I appreciate her comments, it's a very easy process in which you have a peace of mind and you're able to look at the imagery and understand what your body's telling us.
You know, Dareth, it's interesting. I've read hundreds of reports over the last 12 to 14 years that you've been doing this. And the one thing is that if a doctor refers in, obviously you make sure that the doctor gets a copy of the report as well as the patient. But the reports are very interesting because at the end, the doctor will say after they read it, if there's suspicion, they'll say that further diagnostics are indicated. And that's the time that the patient should be referred out. And I know you do. If a woman comes in on her own volition, and by the way, you don't need a referral. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call Thermography Centers of Fairfax and make that happen. But if there's a suspicion, then the referral is made to have that further diagnostic workup done. If it's a normal screen, and I've, you know, at the end of all these reports that I've read, it always says this image is good for archiving, you know, further evaluation. If you're doing a baseline, that's the thing I was going to talk to you about. I'm glad I started running a little bit. Let's, you know, a woman comes in, they have to have a baseline, and then they have them every so often. What does that mean?
So, and I kind of skipped over a piece, and I apologize. So the woman comes in and does a baseline, essentially five images, the front to include the lymphatics, profile of both breasts, and then the oblique of the inside of the two breasts. And then I do the back just as a added check, especially for women who have implants or are very large-breasted. So once we've established their baseline, then I have them come back in 3 months or 90 days, and we do the imaging again to see whether or not those images are stable from the first
to the unfortunately, you're going to have to hold that thought. We're coming up to a quick break, and we'll finish that up as soon as we come back afterwards. We're talking about thermographic imaging. My guest, Dareth Painter. Don't go away. This is a fascinating program. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you who are across country, you know the drill. You know where the clock leads you to listen to us. And we want to always thank our men and women in uniform for what they provide for us and the ability for us to just to do this program. But please know that anything that you need, I'm there to provide it for you. Just reach out at, you know, RozellCare.com and let me know and I'll get back to you right away. My guest today, Dareth Painter, and she is the principal of Thermography Centers of Fairfax, and she's been in the business diagnostically now for 14 years. Thermography is really cutting edge modern technology when it comes to diagnostic support mechanisms and in many cases primary in detecting many different presentations, if you will, from cancers to inflammatory disorders and immune function. And Dareth, that's something that we really didn't get into. But this Wednesday night, the 22nd Wednesday at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax, you're going to be doing a presentation. And I know that you're going to cover a lot of that as well. And those of you, I would encourage you to attend. This is a real opportunity for you to learn something that most people know very little about. Fortunately, more and more people are becoming aware of it. But all you have to do is go to RozellCare.com, 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 or call 703-698-7117 and register for the class. I think this one is going to be very well attended. Dareth, let's finish up a little bit with not only, you know, what we were talking about, but what you're going to cover this week.
Sure. So before we cut for break, as I was saying, the baseline and the follow-up are 90 days apart. Do the exact same imaging, and our doctors compare it to see whether or not there are any changes over time, which would indicate to us whether or not a woman is in the process of an angiogenic presentation. So that is critical to establish that baseline and follow-up. Why the 90 days? Cancer cells typically duplicate every 30 to 90, so we want to look at that spread from the initial visit to the three-month follow-up. Now, as I'll mention this right now, typically, and Jane brought it up, to do the baseline is in our office is typically 225, and then the follow-up is 125 to do. But in the month of October, in recognition of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we are going to discount those. So the baseline will be, instead of 225, will be 198, and then the follow-up of 125 will then just be 100. So we're giving a discount for those women who have never done thermography or want to do their annual thermography, and, you know, have them come in and get that done. As far as the presentation is concerned, yes, we're going to cover the aspects of thermography, its application to breast health, not just cancer, but also fibrocystic, fatty tumors, lymphatic congestion. So we're going to cover a lot of aspects of breast health and women's health.
You know, Dareth, I don't know if you remember this, and you may not. This goes back years ago, because this was a patient that came into the office simply for an examination neurologically and immunologically, and this patient wasn't there more than two visits. But one of the visits, we took an area of interest in the neck and so forth. And I don't remember if you did it or one of our other thermographers had done it at the time. And what she ended up with was a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that was showing in her neck. And those are the things that it can pick up and give us a different look at. But, Dareth, thank you. I'm looking forward to being there with you this Wednesday evening and listening you through. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, and we'll be here next week. And remember, we continue to do this for one reason only, because we love you.